Well, hi, everyone. We will be in Proverbs 21 today, so if you could find your way there, that would be great. But before we go there fully, I want to bring you greetings from our newest school and church partner in the Dominican Republic. And so, buenos dias. I was there last weekend with our team, who just did a tremendous job all week. We spent time helping our newest pastor and church partner. That's Pastor Silverio in Iglesia de Dios Pentecostal. And they held an outreach event. Our team helped them with that, as well as brokering the details of our new partnership. And the team also came alongside a local hero named Perla. And they helped her run a VBS program all week for this small school that she runs there in one of the poorest sections of Santo Domingo. In fact, Pastor Silverio called that section of town the mouth of hell. And so she's offering this Christian education there to some 80 children who otherwise would receive no education at all, even public education. And she's been laboring there with no help, no support for almost 10 years now, praying all along that God would send some angels to help her, and if no people would. And so instead of sending angels, God chose to use the people of grace to answer Perla's prayer. And through child sponsorship, we're going to add energy and momentum to her school. And God willing, many, many more kids will receive an education. But beyond just that, food and clothing and mainly the gospel that comes with it. So several people on our team got to meet their sponsor child this week. And it was a pretty amazing experience. If you sponsor a child there, you can actually go and meet that child on a future trip. So I want to commend you, Grace Church, again, for always being willing to step up and think outside of our walls. One of our values here is to be an outward-focused church. And man, that's in full force this month. Because in addition, we have another team leaving for Haiti to visit our other partner church and school in Haiti. So I just want to say I love you guys for your heart, for the marginalized all over the globe. Well, it's January 2017, and we've found here at Grace that the new year is a great time to talk about getting back on track financially. And so maybe the bills are starting to roll in from pre-Christmas purchases, or you're on a different page than your spouse about expenditures. Maybe you're just clueless, honestly, about how much money's coming in and going out of your account, or you're seeing some of maybe your own bad habits with money starting to manifest in the lives of your children, and you realize things have just gone too far. And so last week, Brian started our balance series talking about the importance of working, putting work in its proper place, not getting out of balance, and honoring God with all that we do in our work. Well, this week, we're going to talk about what we do with all of that money that you guys are making when your work life is rolling along in the right direction. And I just want to say a couple of things before we dive into today's passage and subject matter. You know, a lot of people hear sermons about money and they think, okay, here we go. The pastor is up there drumming up his plan to get my cash out of my pocket and into his pocket. And listen, you just need to know that my dream is for each person at Grace to have a purposeful, passion-filled, Christ-centered life, to possess a heart that's fully surrendered to God. And so Jesus was clear that the greatest battle for our hearts is going to come from money. How we earn it, how we save it, how we leverage it, how we spend it, how we invest it, how we give it. God cares about all of those things, not because he needs our money. Believe me, he doesn't need it at all. But because each of those decisions that you and I make with our money, it reveals very clearly where our heart is. It reveals, is God on the throne of our lives or not? And so God is keenly interested in this. Jesus taught on the subject of money often because he knew what a litmus test it is for our faith. And so how you handle your money is a part of your commitment to being a Christ follower. And there are some folks that mistakenly think that being a Christian mainly means that you follow Christ in the spiritual areas of your life. You pray, you read your Bible a bit, you come to church when you can, and then you just go out and do your real life and you leave God out of that. And the Bible says that is not the way it works. In fact, the scriptures offer a completely holistic view of what it means to be a Christian. You see, Jesus doesn't settle for being compartmentalized in our lives. Instead, he invades and overtakes every area of our lives, including our finances. So many people struggle with money, and God didn't create us for that. And so I don't in any way want this series to be a source of shame for you. Conviction? Yes. Call to action? Yes. But I want to remind you today that you can do this. With God's help, you can have victory in your financial life. And it's going to serve me well as your pastor to know that our hearts are falling more in love with Christ. Now, some of you all know all too well what it feels like to have your wrists rubbed raw from the chains of financial bondage. You're tired and frustrated over struggling to make ends meet, tired of the arguments with your spouse. I mean, you have this nagging feeling maybe that you might never get ahead financially. And you find yourself sometimes saying, I'd give almost anything to feel freed up, to feel liberated financially. And you don't necessarily want to be mega rich. You just like to be released from the chains of debt and worry and frustration over finances. And I'm here to remind you today, that's what God wants for you too. His plan is a plan for freedom and not bondage. And so it's within the heart of God that every single one of you would have liberation in the area of money management so that your life could be about matters that are more important, like people and like marriages and family, like churches, like society, like turning the world around. That's what we were created for. But so many people fail to ever get to that place because they're so bound up in this other area. And so God says, I will help you become financially free if you listen to my counsel, if you trust me, and if you do it. And so over the next 3 weeks, I want us to walk through God's counsel concerning our money. Last week, again, we looked at the area of working, which is obviously a critical part of that equation. But over the next 3 weeks, I want us to consider planning and spending and giving. And today we're going to look at two passages in Proverbs to kickstart that subject. And so if you have your Bible or device, you hopefully are at Proverbs 21. The first passage is in Proverbs 21:5. So would you listen as I read? This is in the NIV. The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. And so if you're taking notes in your Bible today, will you just connect those two words, plans and profit, and then connect the words haste and poverty? Now, obviously, there are many factors when it comes to poverty, including systematic injustices and generational factors. I don't want to get hung up too much on that part, but I want us to come back to this first part that says, planning leads to profit. This is true. This is the Word of God. And can I just say it plainly, that planning ahead is godly. In fact, the big idea I want us to consider today is we honor God with our faithful planning. It's true. And somewhere along the line, this idea has crept into Christian circles that says that the Holy Spirit can only work in the spontaneous, not in the planning ahead. If you're a planner, then you must be self-reliant, or you must be unspiritual, or even worldly, or like a business. Listen, God planned for the creation of the world. Jesus planned the timing of his ministry. I mean, how many times in the Gospels do we read that Jesus does this incredible miracle, and then he tells people, listen, I want you to stay quiet. Shh, don't tell anybody. Or he would avoid certain areas for his ministry. Why? Because he said it wasn't time yet. He was working a plan. Paul did tremendous planning for his ministry of church planting and multiplication. If you read Acts and look for it, he had a specific strategy that he was working, certain cities that he was trying to get to. Now, all along, he was open to that plan being changed by the Holy Spirit, and occasionally it was. But he diligently worked the plan. I even get criticized sometimes for researching and planning my sermons extensively ahead of time and then preaching from those notes. Some people think that it would be more spiritual of me to stand up and preach spontaneously, whatever the Spirit revealed to me in the moment. I'm just here to tell you that the Holy Spirit is at work in the planning as well as in the moment. And this passage reminds us that if we're going to be people who are doing our finances God's way, we are going to be people of planning. And that planning, the Bible says, will lead to profit. If you go a little bit further down in chapter 21, you'll see in 21:20 it says, the wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools gulp theirs down. Now again, if you're marking, will you circle and connect the words wise with the word store up and the word fools with the words gulp down? And so the message from Proverbs 21:5 and 20 is the value of discipline and planning ahead. In fact, if I were to put the truths of these two verses in a little table, it would look something like this. On the left, you would see planning ahead and saving, which he said storing up. And you could label that financial health or profit. And then in the right column, you'd see things like hasty and consumeristic, which is the word I'd use for gulping down, and paycheck to paycheck, which is another word for poverty. And so when you look at a table like that, I ask you, which side of the table do you find yourself on? The left column. And in the left column, if we were to put a title up, the title would be wise. That's what the Bible says. And the right column, the title would be foolish. And so the lessons from Proverbs 21 is that planning ahead, it takes diligence, and planning ahead takes wisdom. And the consequences of not planning ahead are financial struggle and short-term gain, but no long-term sustenance. And so even if things are good for you now, planning is biblical. I'll remind you, it wasn't raining when God told Noah to build the ark, and things seemed like they were just fine. And if in this new year, you want to start working toward financial freedom and honoring God with your money, it's going to take a plan. And again, please let me remind you that your financial life and your spiritual life are one. And so just like we don't accidentally stumble into holiness, we also don't accidentally stumble into financial responsibility. It takes focus and effort and consistent discipline. And so this is not a get-rich-quick sermon today or anything like that, but it's a long-view look at some of the behaviors of those who are financially free. And so by way of applying Proverbs 21, I want us to consider today three plans for financial freedom. The first is this. It's to make the decision to plan. Now, this sounds a little basic, like it should just be understood by us, but when Joe Sengel was here a year ago, he started off with this basic belief, and I thought it was profound. He said it this way. He said, most people are just one or two major decisions away from completely changing their financial future. Not 20 decisions away, not 40 decisions away, just one or two decisions. And these key decisions are usually far easier to implement than most people think. And so for some of you, this is the most important thing you could take away from today's message. A single decision that simply says, I'm going to make a plan and stick to it. That decision could change everything for you. Listen to a few examples that Joe gave. He said, consider a 23-year-old young woman who just obtained her first full-time career kind of job, earning $40,000 a year. She just graduated from college, so every $20 bill she gets is like $1 million, right? Remember those days? And so she makes a decision, just one decision in the human resource office, to max out her contribution to the company's retirement savings plan, which is 13% of her gross income at that particular place of employment. The company matches her contribution with an additional 3%. So even if she never receives a raise over her 44-year career, she is going to end up with over $5 million for retirement. Just one decision made the difference. The wise store up, as we just read in Proverbs. Or take a 55-year-old couple who decided to eliminate their debt, including their home mortgage, by the time they retired at age 66. One decision. Whatever it takes, they said, we're going to get rid of that debt. And by doing that one thing, they lowered how much it cost them to live every month from $5,000 to $2,500. One decision would allow their retirement nest egg to last twice as long. Take another person who decided to invest in rental homes beginning at age 40, managed to purchase and pay off 25 of them by age 70. With an average rent of $500 a month, her investments are delivering $12,500 a month in gross income, plus the homes are worth a combined total of $2 million. One decision to embrace the awkwardness of learning the rental investment business changed the trajectory of her retirement. The plans of the diligent lead to profit, we read a moment ago in Proverbs. And so the first step toward financial freedom is to make a decision to plan. But what kind of plans? Well, we could go a lot of different directions with this because it's important to have an investment plan. It's important to have a savings plan. But I want to talk about two very specific plans that I believe every growing believer should have when it comes to finances. They're very basic. And so the second plan, in addition to the decision to plan, is this. Make a budget plan. Remember our passage in Proverbs 21:20. It basically said that the wise person has a plan for the future, but the foolish person just spends whatever he or she gets. It says there must be a strategy for earning and a strategy for saving and a formula for spending and giving. You need a budget. And when you're faithful in the little things, the Bible says elsewhere, it's only a matter of time before you'll be given more to manage. God often doesn't bless people who are being stupid with their money. Because listen, if you're incompetent with the money that you have and you get more of it, you know what that does? It ruins your life. God doesn't want to do that to us. And so it's critical for every person to know where their money is going. And not after it goes there, but before it goes there. Dave Ramsey says that you need to give every dollar a name. So some of you have never done a budget before, and so I want to warn you, if you're a couple, that for the first few months, it'll probably be an absolute fight, but that's part of the process of getting on the same page. But if you'll develop a budget and live by it, I'm here to tell you that God is honored, and anxiety is reduced, and bills are paid on time, and savings and investments grow nicely, and children have a positive example to follow when it comes to money, and the work of God in the world is generously and consistently funded, and God's favor and blessing falls on that person and that family. It's just a win, 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 all the way around. It is a wise person who develops a budget and follows it. It comes with great rewards. So develop a budget. On paper, on purpose, before the month begins, get your iPad out, turn off the TV. You know, the financially successful person typically can't tell you who's winning on The Bachelor. Turn off the TV, get the iPad out, put your stuff out on the kitchen table, put the kids to bed, put the boxing gloves on because it's budget night. And the first one or two, you're gonna get some black eyes because you've been in denial. You've not been dealing with your stuff. And so commit yourself to sit down and do it. Because as you start getting a handle on your reality, there's probably going to be some moments that require some decisions, delayed gratification, or saying no to some things in the short term, with the promise that later on you'll be incredibly glad that you made those tough choices. Kim, my wife, really runs most of our family finances because she's really, really good at it, and she's been gifted by God to do it. And there have been many times throughout our 25 years of marriage where she's come to me and said, listen, we are on lockdown. Everything is red light. We're not spending money on anything. In fact, we're canceling some stuff. We're canceling gym memberships. We're consolidating our cell phones. We're not eating out at all. We're going to cut our grocery bill by 25% because we're entering a season either where things were just tight or we were positioning ourselves for the next chapter financially of our lives. And now, all these years later, we're bearing the fruit of being really wise for the last 25 years. It's deciding to plan ahead of time. Some of you have been on autopilot. You haven't checked in on a budget in a while, or maybe ever. Others of you are getting older and needing to consider how you want to invest what God's blessed you with during the last chapter of your life. Others of you have tried a budget and failed, and you're thinking, I'm not doing that again. Can I urge you, for your own future, for your own faith, to give it another try? I know budgeting is that thing that many people really struggle with, but it's also that step that most people really have to take if they want to experience financial freedom. And I know, we live in an instant gratification world, and this is not an instant gratification thing. Because if you want to get a handle on your money, it's going to take some short-term discipline over an extended period of time. And frankly, we struggle to make changes in our lives when the effects aren't immediate. But we must make changes anyway. This one's worth it, I promise. And so make a budget, and as Ramsey says, tell your money where to go instead of wondering where it went. I want to summarize some simple wisdom that Joe Sengel shared with us last year when he came to Grace. It's a simple 3-part monthly budgeting process that will get you on your way to financial freedom. Now, you're going to see a sample form that comes up on the screen as we go. And you can find this very same form and download a copy of it for free at whoisgrace.com/financial-freedom to do your own personalized budget. There's a lot of other resources there too. So let's talk through 3 easy steps to budgeting. The first is this. Determine your income for the next month. The key word here is next. You see, preparing a budget for money that you've already spent is not helpful. A budget must be completed before the month begins and before the money ever even arrives. The best way is to stop saying, you know, I can't believe I spent my money that way, or I wish I could have that money back. The best way to stop all that is to develop a spending plan before the money is received that month. So what income will you receive during the next month? It might be from a paycheck, a bonus, a side job, child support, alimony, unemployment, Social Security, whatever it is. Well, what is that income number? And if your income is unpredictable, write down the amount of money that you can count on with relative certainty. And if you're living week to week or paycheck to paycheck, you can also check out a weekly budget guide at Joe Sengel's budgeting tools at the Who Is Grace /financial-freedom page as well. So the first step is to determine your income for the month. The second step is to enter all of your expenses for the next month. Now, this is just the process of telling your money where to go. it's time to actually spend the money on paper before the month arrives. So by all accounts, the best way to use is to use real actual expenses that will actually happen, not averages for the year. Because if you don't know the actual cost for stuff, you want to enter an educated guess based on your recent spending. But if the expenses get too generalized, you're going to mentally consider this budget document an irrelevant piece of paper and you'll stop using it. So enter all the expenses into your budget. Some categories that are already on that page include things like giving and saving, housing, food, debt, utilities, transportation, personal. It's got it all on there. The third important step is at the bottom in those two boxes where it says income and expenses. You want to make those boxes, when you subtract one from the other, to be exactly zero. So whether you make $1,500 a month or $50,000 a month, you have this limited amount of income. So if you bring home $3,000, for example, during the next month, and you spend $3,152, your spending plan is not going to work, because where's the extra $152 going to come from? It's going to either come from savings or from debt, usually in the form of a credit card. If you spend more than you make, no matter how much you make, you will have to make that up somehow. And so to be responsible, you have two options to get that to zero. You either increase your income, that's get a second job, work some overtime, sell some stuff, whatever, or you decrease your expenses. Less restaurants, less Starbucks, cancel cable, downgrade the phone plan, Aldi's instead of Wegmans, whatever it is. But decide ahead of time and make that number at the bottom exactly zero. And after you've done this work, then the key is to actually follow the budget. Do everything in your power to stick to that budget. Now, it sounds so simple, and most people know that they should do this, but they just don't do it. And so we need some accountability. We need positive motivation each month. And here's what I'd recommend to you. Find a trusted friend or couple to help you. Maybe if you both want to take a step to plan a budget, maybe have dinner together on the last Sunday night of each month and work on next month's budget in separate rooms or whatever you want to do. But one action step that I would encourage you to take is that if that's you, if you need to take this step and you need some accountability, write down the name of a person who will help you with this. And it might sound like it would be awkward to ask them to do this for you. I'm here to tell you, it will be honoring to them to ask for their help. If you don't have a person like that, we have a tremendous ministry here of financial coaches that you can lean on. You can find that at the website too. So we've talked about the importance of making the decision to plan, that was number one, and making a budget plan, that was number two. The third step that I want to challenge you on is this, is to make a debt plan. Debt plan. The power of interest is amazing. In fact, one author suggested that next to the power of God, the power of interest is the second most influential force on a person's life. I'd ask you, what side of the interest equation are you on? Because what side of the interest equation you're on can literally determine the course of your life. I'll give you an example. Say you have a $5,000 debt on your credit card, and you decide to pay it off by making the minimum monthly payments. At an average of 18% interest rate and a minimum payment of 2%, do you realize that it will take you 52 years and 5 months to completely pay off that credit card? If that was me, I'd be 98 years old if I took an arrangement like that. And ultimately, at the end of all that, you will have paid $15,303 to pay off your original $5,000 debt. That's $10,000 of interest. That's called being on the wrong side of the interest equation. Which side of the interest curve do you find yourself on will determine in large part how your life turns out. So many people are on the wrong side of it because of the staggering nature of consumer debt. Proverbs 22:7, just a chapter later, says the borrower becomes the lender's slave. It's true. Every time you sign up for debt, you give a piece of your freedom away. The creditor says, pay me first. It doesn't matter what's going on the rest of your life. If you don't pay me on time and pay me in full, I will ruin you. Now, you may be wondering if all debt is frowned upon in Scripture. Pretty much. Except that some Christian financial advisors would say that in normal economic times, that there's some acceptable debt like a reasonable mortgage on a home, a reasonable college loan, or a well-thought-through business loan. But other than that, debt should really be avoided like the plague. Why? Because debt has a crippling effect on us. I mean, it cripples you with pressure and stress. If you miss one paycheck, you can go into an absolute panic. It's a horrible way to live. It cripples you by undermining your joy. I mean, how do you eat out? How do you buy your kids a little present when every dime you spend stabs you with guilt? It cripples you by eroding your generosity. We all love to see a need and meet it. You can't do that when you're weighed down by debt. And so how do you start turning this around? Let me give just a few practical steps. The first is to analyze your situation. If you're going to manage God's resources well, it's important to have a handle on where things stand. The second step is to stop the bleeding. Stop borrowing money immediately. Burn the credit cards, cut them up, do something, but don't imprison yourself anymore to any more lenders. Make the decision that if you can't pay for it yet, you can't have it yet. And the third step is to start attacking your debt. Dave Ramsey calls it the debt snowball. That's list all of the debts but your house payment in order, smallest balance to the biggest. And the smallest one is the first priority. Pay that first one off and then add whatever you were paying onto that to the next one and start attacking it. This process is going to help you to stay motivated as you see progress. And before you know it, you'll be debt free. Now, I have to acknowledge again that in our instant gratification world, this is a process. Ron Blue says it this way. He says, getting into debt is as easy as sliding down an ice-covered mountain. And getting out of debt is just as difficult as climbing up that same mountain, which means when you think about making a debt plan, again, you have to understand that it's a long-haul decision. I'm here to tell you that exactly 1 year from now, on this very weekend in 2018, you won't be done yet, probably. But the freedom that comes at the end of the road as a result of it will be invaluable. Guys, it's long past time that some of you took an initial step on getting this thing under control. Again, the website whoisgrace.com/financial freedom has some great debt tools, debt calculators from both Dave Ramsey and Joe Sangle there. You can check it out. Finally, we're going to be hosting the very best training that exists, I believe, on the planet on these matters right here at Grace, starting on Monday nights at all of our locations, January 23rd at 6:30 p.m. It's a class called Financial Peace University. I know many couples and individuals whose path to financial success began with the simple step, one decision, of taking this class. It's been a game changer for so many people all over the world. In fact, we have a big container in our office of cut-up credit cards and a bunch of stories of Grace folks who are debt-free because of that one initial step to take this class. And I know I've mentioned it 100 times now, it seems, but you can go to that website, whoisgrace.com/financial freedom, to register for this class. As I said earlier, most Christians are one or two decisions away from a whole new future, and this may be yours. I want to remind you why planning in the area of money is so important one more time as I wrap up today. I said at the beginning, I don't want this to be a source of shame for you, just a call to action. And I want to reaffirm that you can do this with God's help. You can get a handle on this area of your life. And here's the deal. Your sanity depends on it. Your family depends on it. Your marriage depends on it. Your kids' futures depend on it. But more than that, your spiritual life depends on getting this right. I'll remind you of a basic truth of Scripture that's this. You were born for freedom. You really were. When Jesus used to talk, when he was on this earth, he would say things like, if I make you free, you're going to be free indeed. And what he was talking about is that there's, in addition to a financial freedom plan, a spiritual freedom plan, whereby guilty sinners, moral failures, those of us who have stacked up huge amounts of moral debt in the face of a holy God, Jesus said, okay, all you moral debtors, through my death for you on the cross, I will set you free spiritually for eternity. Your heart was born for that kind of freedom, and so was mine. And Christ made it possible. It's available to you for the asking. But then, once you're spiritually free, Jesus says, look, don't give back any amount of that freedom that's been won for you at the cross. Don't give back any percentage of it. Don't go into any kind of bondage. And today, the message is don't go into financial bondage, because it takes the shine off of this wonderful gift of freedom that was purchased for you by the blood of Christ at the cross. And some of you have spiritual freedom, but it's all layered over with financial bondage. And so you walk around just feeling weighed down and in a prison cell. would you just mark today as the end of that kind of insanity and say, no more. I was born for freedom. Christ purchased my freedom. And I will be free forever. So why not start being free right now in a financial sense? I urge you to start today by making a plan, because as we learned in our big idea today, we honor God with our faithful planning. God bless you guys.